हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम
राम
हरे हरे
ओके पेज 31 This is, okay, Srila Prabhupada and the Krishna book. Therefore, even if at your request we return home, what shall we do there? We have lost all our ability to act without you. Instead of engaging our hearts in family affairs as women, we have now developed a different type of lust which is continually blazing in our hearts. Now we request you, dear Krishna, to extinguish that fire with your beautiful smile and the transcendental vibration emanating from your lips. If you do not agree to do us this favor, we shall certainly be burned in the fire of separation. In that condition, we shall simply think of you and your beautiful features and give up our bodies immediately. In that way, we think it will be possible for us to reside at your lotus feet in the next life. The gopis continued. O lotus-eyed one, the goddess of fortune considers it a festive occasion whenever she touches the soles of your lotus feet. You are very dear to the residents of the forest, and therefore we will also touch those lotus feet. From that time on, we will be unable even to stand in the presence of any other man, for we will have been fully satisfied by you. Goddess Lakshmi, whose glance is sought after by the demigods with great endeavor, has achieved the unique position of always remaining on the chest of her lord, Narayana. Still, she desires the dust of his lotus feet, even though she has to share that dust with Tulsi Devi, and indeed with the Lord's many other servants. Similarly, we have approached the dust of your lotus feet for shelter. Therefore, O vanquisher of all distress, please show us mercy. To approach your lotus feet, we abandon our family and homes, and we have no desire other than to serve you. Our hearts are burning with intense desires, degenerated by your beautiful smiling glances. O jewel among men, please make us your maidservants. Footnote 11. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 38 to Bhagavad Arkamrita chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhurima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Yeah, so this absorption like this, then that taste that is there, the depth of that, you know, just the affection for the Lord. So the taste then is, the greatness of all this interaction. So it has nothing really to do, with the external situations. The external situations may give rise to it, may be udipan for it, but it's actually a deep taste, that sweetness that's there. So that absorption. So then the gopis are able to be absorbed so nicely by all these things, Krishna's flute, his smiling, his speaking, how he dresses, all these different things keep them always fully absorbed in that sweetness. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The gopis proclaim, giving up our families, we desire to be your servants like the devotees of Narayan. As you are similar to Narayan, you should be pleased with us. Krishna responds, but you have some karma which gives suffering, the opposite of my mercy. Therefore, how can you receive my mercy? Is Narayan satisfied with everyone? The gopis reply, O one who destroys suffering, take away our suffering. It is well known in the scriptures that Narayana must take away the suffering of those who take shelter of him. We are taking shelter of your feet, without any other desire, giving up our houses. Krishna responds, Oh yes, you have given up the happiness of family life, but certainly you have expectation of getting some bliss from me. I can understand that. The gopis reply, Our aspiration is simply to worship you, not to get happiness through worshiping you. In worship, we hope to please you, but there's no fault if by seeing your face we get some sudden happiness. The fault would be in your face, because his face is causing their happiness. So if he's saying there's a fault in them being happy, then the fault's actually in his face, because his face is so beautiful that it makes them happy just seeing it. So therefore, then he should be blaming his face, not them. Krishna responds, If you don't have any fault, then are you not improperly requesting me to extinguish the fire of your desire? The gopis conclude, This is not improper, it is the truth. You are the cause of the fire blazing. Our souls burn with intense desire, generated from your beautiful glance. To remove that fault, you simply give us the position of servants, not as wives. Vallabhacharya comments on this as follows. They pray for the position of servants, not wives, because that position does not require Krishna to have upanayana samskar, right? Because to be married, then you have to have upanayana. And so, since he's only going to do that when he gets to Mathura, then he can only get married after that at Mathura. Doesn't make sense. So it has to be something. So if they're just servants, then they can have a relationship.
What's the connection between upanayan and marriage?
In the Veda, because it's the samskar before marriage. One's supposed to be educated. To get educated, you have upanayanam. And then with that, then they graduate, which is the concluding ceremony of the upanayanam. Then they get married. So that would be the standard way of doing things. So since Krishna won't go through the samskar of upanayanam until Mathura, then therefore it can't be done at this time. So that's why they're saying servants, not wives. Because wives, then he has to go through that whole thing, and then there's so many things that he has to do. So they want to just please him without him having to make any extra endeavor. Right? It's just that he should accept their service. You know? The gopis further concluded, whether we are unmarried or unmarried does not matter, for both types can be your servants. Oh, excuse me, I read it wrong. Whether we are married or unmarried, that's actually, yeah. So whether they're married or unmarried does not matter, for both types can be your servants. Yes.
Previous point that he actually doesn't have to do anything. That's what they want. They want to save Krishna from all the troubles.
Because then there's. Then there's something he has to get upanayanam. He has to do this and that, you know. So then you understand. So wives can expect that, you know. They're going to get married. So then you have to have upanayanam. You have to get trained and all that. I remember once, one devotee, South Indian Brahmins, and then I think in the tradition there's some particular person in the community that when they're born. And this other person are born, they're automatically a match. Only if they decide not to, then it won't happen. But otherwise, it's just understood that these two are going to get married. So they were telling me that when they, I think it was like, I can't remember if they were like 10, 11, 12, something like that. Then she was telling him, now, you know, you're going up to the, I guess you finished the grade level, you're going to the next level, so you have to study hard and all that so you can get through nicely so everything will work out, you know, because then you get your degrees, you get, you know, so already starting at that time. So that's the point. Then he has to go through this. So that can be expected. Wives can expect that. But servants, then nothing's expected. They just render their service and that's their happiness. Is it?
And that's what Krishna wanted from
No, he wants them to make all this point of their surrender, how they've given up everything for him and all that, for them to say that. Because right? Otherwise, the tendency is not to say that. Srila Sanatana Goswami says in his commentary that service to the husband in married life does not give as much happiness as service to a paramour lover. That is also well known from Bhagavatamrita. Therefore, being servant is more desirable. Therefore, in this verse, they pray, let us be servants. Yes? Yes.
So when Mahaprabhu in Shikshastakam says, Ainanda Tanuja Kim Karam, it has nothing to do with this. He doesn't mean that.
But means kinkara means servant.
Yeah. But not in this connection, not a female servant. When he prays.
Means that that's which? The sixth?
Fifth.
Okay, that's to do with Asakti, that one. So, no, it means that you have the general principle of being a servant. It doesn't have to be established of the particular rasa, because the living entity, that full surrender to Krishna, like this full surrender that the gopis have towards Krishna, that kind of mood of surrender can be aspired for by any living entity, no matter what the realm, what the relationship, anything. So there's that desire to be fully absorbed in Krishna's service without any desire for anything for yourself. Then you'll have a specifics that's there. Does that make sense? So it can be seen either in its generic or in its specific sense. So it goes either way. So we would be seeing it in a more of a generic kind of a sense. Okay. Yes, so therefore the Krishna and his energies, then they interact. So that's the aspect that brings about that full happiness of Krishna. Right? So then Krishna interacting with the Surup Shakti, then that has that complete fullness. Because however, whatever qualities he has, then that means there's the energies to carry out those aspects. That energy that carries it out is the Sarup Shakti. So that means Radharani is the actual counterpart to Krishna. In other words, they're non-different. Just one is Shakti, one Shaktiman, but they're non-different. Right? So, therefore, that's complete. Now, that completeness is there, and you can add to the completeness. That's the beauty of the Absolute. It's complete. And you can keep increasing its completeness. So therefore, Krishna with Radharani, that's the most perfect situation. You can expand on that by adding more to it. You know what I'm saying? So let's say you have a very good meal. So the meal itself is the essential point. But now, depending upon the atmosphere you create, where you have that, the company that's there, you can extend this. Expand it. But now if I have all that other stuff but no meal, I'm at the best restaurant with all the best arrangements, you know, and whatever is the best you can have in such a scenario, but there's no food, is it actually good? No, but I can have the food, you know, sitting on the side of the road on a bench or on a rock, and it's still good. You understand? So when you add that all together, then it extends that. So that's why then Radharani is there. She has her assistance and all that. Then there's the assistance of... Then there are the maidservants of them. Right? And generally we see is... can't say specifically, but for in our case, that you could say is the best position for the jivas. Because the jivas are extending from the chit potency. And so extending from there, then they can assist in the pastimes by adding those arrangements. So one could say that's the best for the jivas, right? But you wouldn't say that that's the best. Because it doesn't matter what's the best, because it has nothing to do with us. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, getting a private Learjet the best, or is it getting one of these, 308 Dreamliners as a private plane best? Does it matter in our conversation?
No.
I mean, you know, we're just worried about if we even have an apartment to stay in, you know, that we're not going to get...
Worried about a bicycle.
Huh? Yeah, worried about a bicycle, yeah, like that, you know. It's got a flat and like that. And even though it's stainless steel, it's rusting, you know. That's the beauty of India. Right? You know, so it doesn't matter what it is. You can bring the best from the West, you know, the top grade, you know, how you say, German mechanical thing, and India will destroy it within 6 months. Guaranteed. Like that. It'll last for, you know, they got antiques of it in Germany, like that are going strong. But India, no, 6 months, that's it. So then, being the servant of the servant, that's our position, so that's what we do. But being as a servant of the servant, therefore then Radharani, her associates like this, that are dealing directly with Krishna, then that's their position, and that's the superior position, because that's who directly gives Krishna. Means, in other words, it's about Radha and Krishna. You extend that with the Astasaki and then others who come and support like that, and then the maidservants support that by making arrangements. Not that they're not making arrangements, but the others are that's specifically what they do, right? In other words, they're Saki. Saki means a friend, right? And so then the maidservants, they're Nitya Saki. They're always friends. They never are in a position of rival. Does this make sense? So for the Jivas, you may say, this is the best position. But you can't say that it is the best position. Because we're not trying to be in the best position anyway, because the best position is already taken. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah.
So can we say that Manjaris, they have a Madhurja relationship towards Krishna, but then towards Yudheshwaris, they have a Dasya relationship?
Yes, but specifically I would say more friendship, but with Radharani it's Dasya.
Oh.
Means it's actually Dasya. So that's why with Lord Chaitanya, our relationship is also Dasya. We don't have another relationship with Lord Chaitanya. So that's why then Prabhupada was very specific about not all this Radhe Radhe jazz. It's not wrong. But if you're in the position of a servant, you generally don't call your senior by name. So that's why we generally don't do it. But on Radhastami, that's her day, then you like that, that's nice. But just to use it as a general thing, we don't. Brajbasis may, but that's they're in a different category. We don't even count ourselves like that. And if somebody's always there, grew up there, is, you know, that's their place, they do, then we're not going to worry about it. But as a general thing as sadhakas, then we're careful about that. Does that make sense? That's why we're careful about it. Not that it's something you can't do or this. It's just we don't because of that attitude of service. Does that make sense? That's the rule. So if that's appreciated, this aspect, but you generally don't come across that as much unless, you know, you've been in India or you went to the army, you know, because it's, you know, it's all sir, yes, sir. You know, you don't even just say it, yes, sir. You have to say, sir, because they said it, and then you say, yes, sir. You know, so like that. Then you may catch these things. So that's just the way it is, because we take it, you know, no rules, this and that. But there may be no rules, but there's relationships. And relationships function a certain way. That's why we're careful about it. But, you know, Hare Krishna, then it's all about that, right? Krishna is, you can look at it that, you know, Krishna is Krishna and Rama is Balaram, right? And so that means then Krishna has four words and Balaram has four words in the mantra. But Hare, being Radharani, there's eight words. So she's half the mantra. So then what's the problem? So we're chanting the name all the time, but it's in this form. Because then you're addressing as that as the energy of Krishna. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
So like that, then we can do. But then when you get into these personal, then we're a little bit more careful. That's why then, you know, Srimati Radharani, this and that. You know, does that make sense? So, you know, so that's yes, that's the position. So it's a conjugal relationship with Krishna, but a servitor relationship with Srimati Radharani. And it'll be a friendship rasa with the other sakis, but they'll be senior, right? Because one is functioning under their protection. Like that. But it... practicing to be the joker. Okay. So that's the position there. And in any case, even if one's not there, even like the cowherd boys and this and that, still they're going to deal with Radharani in a proper thing. You don't not going to be overly close in that. Sri Dama, if he wants to call her by whatever name he liked, that's okay because she's his younger sister, so he can do whatever he likes. But others are going to be more careful, especially because she's a married woman, so they're going to deal in a more respectful way. So, yes, she is the one through who everyone goes, that's why then there's a proper respect. Now, because of that and the simplicity of that, that's why the Brajabasis may chant Radhe Radhe. Just because of the simplicity is there and because she's the main one and through her all service is done, so that appreciation in their chanting. But they're always absorbed, so that's why we as sadhakas can't put ourselves in that same position. We have to be a little bit more careful to see that our mentality is proper in that our dealing. So it's not our reverence, it's servitorship. With that. So there's no Aishwarya, it still has that aspect of sweetness, but it's still that aspect of servitorship. Like that. So that's just the fine points. Is that okay?
Yeah. Maharaj, can you please explain how does... now two things are coming up in the sense that Lord Chaitanya, because of which, you know, we are Das, Das and Das. So that is the position, servitorship. But then when a sadhaka, you know, when he goes back to Godhead, this is what is the first thing, Das and Das. But he's also, he also functions in a particular capacity in one of the five rasas, you know.
With who?
With Krishna.
Yes, but yeah, then, so, but what's Lord Chaitanya have to do with this?
No. I'm talking about the position of servitorship and the rasas, you know. How do they function in a parallel way?
But didn't we just explain that?
No, because... we did explain, but...
No, but in connection to who? Because you start off with Lord Chaitanya. And so Lord Chaitanya, whether you're here, whether you're in the Boma pastimes, whether you're in Goloka, it's always going to be servitorship. With Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah, agreed.
So, where does the question come up? Where's the problem?
The question is about, then how does the rasa execute? You know?
How does the rasa execute?
Yeah.
So you want to know if it's like a battle axe, guillotine, Chinese bullet to the back of the head. I've heard the 22s actually are better because they don't come out the other side, so they bounce around inside, so they're actually better. They've used a bigger, you know, one, it comes out the other side and doesn't do such a good job. So, what do you mean by execute?
Execute means...
Oh, I forgot about firing squad. Yes, okay, go ahead.
I forgot, because I said something out of my mind.
Ah, now according to what my mother would say, if you forget, means it wasn't that important.
Old lady said.
Yes, it's just a standard, yeah, it's just a standard. Yeah, see, it wasn't so important. So you're saying that, what, like in, what, 7th or 8th grade, then all the girls are pulled aside and there's a list they're given. These are all the things that you're going to say to your kid. Like they answer all things like that. Okay.
And it's all over the world.
Maharaj, this Radhe Radhe chanting mood is not Srila Prabhupada's mood, nor is it.
It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of, in general, because of this aspect of servitorship, it's not a standard thing. It shouldn't be used in a light way. Now, if some devotees in their kirtan spell Radhastami, then it's not a problem. But if other times, then they're just so happy, so absorbed in the kirtan, and then this starts, then I wouldn't worry about it. Because it's not about it's a rule, it's about it's an etiquette. But just to use it that, okay, we're going to have a kirtan, and then we're going to do this, and then if we do the Radhe Radhe, everyone will get excited, and then these kind of things, then that's not, it's not used in that way. So one has to be careful is that it's a problem, it's not a problem. It's just that we generally avoid, but if it comes up naturally, then I wouldn't worry about it. But if someone's using it as a technique, then I would avoid that.
To excite the crowd.
Yeah, because, you know, just, you know, the techniques that they do for that, then great, but don't need to do that. You can use, and Hari Bol works fine also.
There was once, because on this line, Srila Prabhupada was once very angry when somebody began the kirtan with bhaja.
That was before, because we originally were using that, but then it was being used so much by the sahajiyas that he changed from bhaja to jaya. Right? Because the original mantra is bhaja. Because bhaja means worship. But because then the others... you know, we're doing, I think, Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam, Bhaja Hare Krishna Hare Ram. So therefore, then he adjusted it to Jaya, like that. And whether it's Sri Advaita, Jaya Advaita, it doesn't actually matter. Right? If you're from New York, Jaya Advaita. If you're not from New York, then Sri Advaita. Okay? Yes, okay. Yeah? Still rattling around? Or? Okay. Haven't found it yet.
Somebody asked me a question once that if it's... Usually we chant Maha Mantra one round and then we say Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya and then go again the second round.
Usually? Who's
we went home like that from the very beginning.
Okay.
And of course I thought that everybody does that. And then some people just said that it breaks the mood of your concentration, saying that. And something would be weird to me.
Jai. No, the point is that by chanting the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, then the, you know, means the heart becomes purified and that one will be able to chant nicely the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But technically it's just before you start chanting, then you chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra and then you go on. And then however long you're chanting, you chant. The next time you start, then you could do that again. Or just, you know, first thing in the morning, you're first chanting, you do that. Just however it works. To do between each round, it's not that you couldn't. It's just a matter of if it works for you, you do. And if someone feels it breaks their meditation by thinking of Lord Chaitanya, then then they're so absorbed in Krishna, it breaks the bhav because they're two different people, and yeah, all that kind of stuff. Then I would just, when people say that, just nod your head and then do whatever you're going to do. Like that. I wouldn't. Like, these kind of things are, how you say? Yeah, they're not very important. Now, some will say, oh, but if the Panchatattva Maha Mantra is so much more powerful and so much that, why aren't we chanting rounds of that? And Prabhupada said is that it is more powerful, but Lord Chaitanya gave us the Maha Mantra and said to chant that. Therefore, the tradition is we don't.
And also, some explain this, which I kind of don't like the mood, but still. They say that Panchatattva Mantra, it frees us from the offenses in committing towards the holy name. So if you do it all the time, like before each round, so you protect yourself.
Yeah, if it's a matter of you want to protect yourself, then yeah, if it's a matter of you want to please Krishna, then that's another consideration. But so you want to get the blessing, you're chanting to get the blessings of the Panchatattva, not to free ourselves from offenses. Because that will happen anyway by the process. So we don't need to do it separately. You know, if we chant, then the heart gets purified. We're not trying to purify the heart, and then we also chant because that's part of our sadhana, but the real focus is on, you know, purifying the heart. No, it's that we just do devotional service, these things come. So therefore, we just do what is there. Like Prabhupada wanted, for the arti kirtans, that half the kirtan is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So all the other mantras, then you work them into the other half. So that's why then they go. So if you're going to end the kirtan at the end of the arti, then you would not be chanting so many of the other mantras. You know, the Mangal arti song or the Gaur arti song is there. And then you're going to chant Prabhupada's mantra, the Panchatattva, like that. But that should all only take encompass half of the time. That's why then it's limited. Now, if you're planning on doing one of these is we start with the evening artik and we keep going until they close the deities, and even then we might keep going. Then you chant these things as long as you like, who cares? You know what I'm saying? So it just depends upon the kirtanir and what's happening and what's the standard and stuff like that. But the idea is that the majority of time should be spent chanting Hare Krishna, because that's what Lord Chaitanya did. That's what he asked us to do. Does that make sense? So it's not that these others aren't, you know, because some, I think it was Prabhupada was telling Achyutananda this. That was the instruction. So therefore, those days, at least in India, you only chant Panchatattva Maha Mantra like three times. You know, so but others, then it was made a rule, you can only chant at that. So there's those that if it's a rule you can't, then you have to. So they would chant it more. But then those are the individuals who generally, they will always do longer kirtans. They don't have a problem, you know. It's their day to give class. They lead the Guru Puja. They lead the kirtan all the way through the class until the end. When the class time is over, then they say the Jayadwani, and then you ask them, what about the class? And they say, that was the class. You know, the class is so you'll chant. We were chanting, so it's done. Then if they do more, what's the problem? Right. But if it's one of these where they do all this and that and so many different things and finally get in, you know, two or three Maha Mantras before they end with a whole bunch of Jais and Prabhupads and Hari Bowls and this and that, and then that's not actually the way we would want to do it. So, yeah.
In Prabhupada's Japa, we don't find him chant...
No, it's not necessary. It means before before you start chanting, before kirtan, before chanting, you need to get the blessings of the Panchatattva to chant the Maha Mantra. So our approach to Krishna is through Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So that will always be done, but once that's done, then it's just a matter of taste. You just keep chanting, or you want to chant between each round, or, you know, like that. That doesn't matter. But, it's up to the individual. But then, generally speaking, it's whatever sadhana one person does, then that's what everybody should do, right? You know, it's whatever they do. It's, you know, it's got to be the best, right? Like that. Yes. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, the third group of gopis express themselves in verse 38. Because of the previous stated reason, show mercy to us, make us your servants. So that's the third group. So the first group gave the Brahma Mimamsa to counter Krishna's Karma Mimamsa. Then, what was the second group? Oh, we've left everything and you are the actual husband, you are the actual, like that. So they're showing how Krishna, the only reason they can do it is because they see Krishna in it, and so they've left that for him now directly. And then here is that, no, but simply we're your servants. The gopis continued, seeing your face encircled by curling locks of hair, your cheeks beautified by earrings, your lips full of nectar, and your smiling glance, and also seeing your two imposing arms, which take away our fear, and your chest, which is the only source of pleasure for the goddess of fortune, we must become your maidservants. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Krishna says, you are saying that you will be my servants. Why are you giving yourselves as servants without my paying any price? Right, so it means you're saying I'll be servant, but servants means that that's their occupation and they work like that for, you know, that you pay them. Right? The gopis reply, you have already purchased us at the beginning of youth with the precious Chintamani jewel of your smiling glance, even more valuable than anything we had seen or heard about, millions of times more than we are worth. You brought us to your grove and showed us the beauty of your limbs, like the city of Kuvera, Alaka, with sapphire temples, the object of enjoyment of Lakshmi, chest, with pillars of jewels, arms, Chintamani floors, face, and two gold makaras, earrings, and the jewels, Nila Nidhi and Padmanidhi, eyes. Okay, Nila Nidhi and Padmanidhi. And made us eat every day the nectar rare to the devatas. So he's already paid, but that payment is way more than they feel themselves worth. So that means basically he's eternally, you know, already paid. When you bind your gold turban on your head, your girl servants place the hair back with a comb, and with your hands you tuck in the curls under the turban. The curls of hair become visible only on the left side and right sides of the forehead, not covering the face. We look about that face because when you have the longer hair, is you pull it back with the comb, but you have the shorter hair, the more curly, so that's down. So then Krishna moves that part under with his hand, but the ones on the side, because they don't get in your eyes, you don't move them, right? You just move what's in your face, right? You know, so the shaggy dog look is not popular in Braj, right? You know, so... Yeah. We look about that face, right? At the nice and the curls and that. When you tie up your top knot, the locks are visible on top of the forehead and on the sides. We look upon that face. We look upon that face covered with locks of hair while applying oil or during the last stages of enjoying together. Seeing this face, relished by our eyes, filled with that sweetness, we will become servants. What kind of face is this? This face displays various types of beauty because sometimes the earrings are completely visible, sometimes they are partially visible, and sometimes completely covered by locks of hair. Sometimes the earrings are stationary, sometimes slightly moving, and sometimes completely agitated. Your face displays sweet cheeks. When you open your lips and smile or laugh, your face has sweet lips. The gopis' eyes like chakora birds having climbed upon your cheeks, from there drink the nectar of your lips. And at other private times and places, those lips place themselves on the gopis' cheeks. And at other times, the gopis' lips are placed upon your cheeks. Your face is filled with smiling glances. These glances please or make blossom the gopis and the lotuses. Right, so you see, as we were discussing before, is that so much is just in discussion like that. That's the whole point. The relationship, so much is in the communication, the interaction. So whether they're communicating with words, with glances, with movements, you know, whatever it is that all these different aspects, then these are all about the interaction. That's the main point. Right? Because it's about the relationship. That's the main point. Krishna counters, but your husbands, being intolerant of this situation, will threaten both yourselves and me with fears of Kamsa. Because if anything goes wrong in Vrindavan, then it's always that they're going to tell Kamsa, right? And then Kamsa will come with his police and then, you know, take care of the situation. The gopis reply, your arms are the strongest, destroying all fear, as they destroyed the pride of Indra by lifting Govardhana. In this way, Sringara Rasa is nourished by a hint of Vira Rasa. Right? So it brings out, it's just a hint, it's only enough just to give a little bit. If you put too much, it doesn't. It gives a background. You know, it's just like sometimes in spicing, you put something in, you're not supposed to taste it, it just adds to the background. So it enhances the flavor, the richness of it. Does this make sense?
Virya is secondary, no, Maharaj? Virya Rasa is secondary. Secondary Rasa.
Secondary, yes.
Secondary Rasa.
But the point is all the rasas, all the things that are there in any other rasas are all part of the conjugal rasa. But it's just a matter of what's the proportion.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes. So Sringar is the whole and the part is the Virya Rasa, which supports the...
Yeah, it's just like this. Let us say I'm making... Okay. Yeah, no, we won't get into that. Okay. Krishna responds, "You belong to others. As I follow the path of Dharma, I cannot accept the wives of others as my servants." Right, because now he's the Dharmic. You know, he always likes to, you know, pull that, and then they'll argue about it. It's just a matter of you bring it up. You have to remember we're dealing with youthful arrogance here. Right, because it's all true, but at the same time is then, you know, it gives a position from which then they can continue the discussion. Right, because otherwise is, how was your day? Yeah, okay. And yours? Yeah, fine. Now what?
End of the conversation.
Yeah, that's it. So then he goes and sits on the couch and starts pushing the buttons, and she goes in the kitchen and starts talking to friends. Right, you know, so... Yeah, so they know how to keep the conversation going. Krishna Spanke. "I cannot accept the wives of others as my servants." Pointing his index finger at himself, he asked, "Can you understand who I am?" The gopi said, "Yes, certainly we can. You are the jewel of religious principles. You cannot make the wives of the cowherd men your servants, but you can forcibly take Lakshmi away from Vaikuntha and walk around with Lakshmi on your chest. Lakshmi, out of modesty, has taken the form of a golden lion and sports predominantly on your chest. That you can't take away, but you can take her around and everywhere." You know, so they're just, that's the whole point is, if you don't have these principles, how do you have discussions based on them?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, what are they going to talk about, right? You know, I mean, the weather's perfect. You know, yeah. Nice weather today, yeah. Like this every day, it's fabulous. Yeah, quite nice. Then, you know, so I'm saying it's not a... Yeah. Not that they don't talk about the weather, but it's not the main opening. Right? The suggestion is, we know for certain that at this time, when you are this age, you do not reject any beautiful woman belonging to anyone in the 14 worlds or outside the universe in Mahavaikuntha. Right? So he's brought Lakshmi here, right? So why not everybody else? The gopis continued, "Dear Krishna, what woman in all the three worlds wouldn't deviate from religious behavior when bewildered by the sweet, drawn-out melody of your flute? Your beauty makes all the three worlds auspicious. Indeed, even the cows, birds, trees, and deer manifest the ecstatic symptoms of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form." Footnote 12. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 40 to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhurima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Yeah, so here they're just pointing out that the sweetness is so great that any... Everybody is appreciating. Even the animals are appreciating. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, "The enchanting nature of Krishna's form and flute song have been described. This includes the enchanting nature of his name. Because his name is most enchanting, they cannot even utter it directly. Thus there is no fault at all in giving up proper conduct if it is beyond one's power to resist. Actually, such devotees are not supposed to follow proper conduct. They are beyond it. That was previously described. Thus, Sridhar Swami writes that it is proper to give up one's dharma simply on hearing a sound indicating Krishna. It is possible for the Lord to follow proper conduct to teach the people, since he is full of all powers. But how is it possible for devotees controlled by prema who have no such power? Their greatness is very deep." Right, so Krishna can control himself, do all the things, teach everybody and that, because of his unlimited position. But the devotees don't have that position. So when they're overwhelmed by that affection towards Krishna, then naturally then that's what's expressed. So that's actually the highest religious principle. So all other religious principles then stand aside for this one. The gopis continued, "Clearly you have taken birth in this world to relieve the fear and distress of the people of Raja. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the primeval Lord, protects the domain of the demigods, therefore, O friend of the distressed, kindly place your lotus hand on your maidservants' heads and burning breasts." Srila Jiva Goswami writes, "The fourth group of gopis speak, rejecting the accusation that they are faulty in dharma, and, as a strategy, accuse him of having faulty dharma. Krishna responds, "Let all this be. Being similar to Narayan, my nature cannot be otherwise, since I am full in my desires. What is the use of the action you suggest?" The gopis reply, "You take away fear of Putana and other demons, and fear of our husbands. You take away pain arising from rain and wind. You take away fear of being separated from you, and take away the pain of separation. You have been born to remove this fear and pain." Okay, because he's then saying the previous group that then he countered with, he is, you know, he is so religious, he follows everything, how can he be involved with girls who are already connected with somebody else, this, that, blah. So he says all that, so then that puts a fault on them that they're coming and asking him to break his religious vows. And so then this next group doesn't even deal with that. They just move on from that. And they say that he's actually not in that position. And so his real position is to remove this fear and pain of the devotees. Srila Sanatana Goswami summarizes the gopis' statements, arguments.
But they accuse him of having...
Serious. Goes on for...
They accuse him of having faulty dharma.
Yes, that's what this fourth group does. Like, the third is just saying, you know, make us your servants. And he's, how can I, you know, because, you know, it's against the rules. Like that. And so therefore, by doing that, he's saying he's so religious and it makes it, you know, it would be alluding to that the gopis are not. And so they're going, what do you mean? You're not religious. You know, this is what you're supposed to do. This is your religious duty. So he and they've surrendered to Krishna, the highest religious duty. Then he'll talk the generic religious duties. And so now then he's talking that he's so religious on the generic point. And they're saying, no, he's actually irreligious there because he's not following the actual religion, which is the highest principle of him as the supreme, to take care of the devotees. So that's actually the duty. So he's telling them their duties, but they're telling him his duties. Right? But he's talking on the secondary platform, they're talking on the primary. So that's the fun. So it's whichever one you talk, then the other one will say the other. Like that.
Actually, Sanatana Goswami is dealing with 10 groups, but Jiva Goswami, when gopis are answering, they are answering in every verse, all the 10, whatever verses Krishna quoted, they are answering to all the 10 verses in each verse.
Means all these things can go on at once. They can be dealing with all this at once, because then in that, then you have to break it down as in that verse, which part is which of the 10. But there'll be a generic flavor, so that will be the part. So whichever the third group is, that part within the one verse, that's the part that they're... is their mood. But otherwise, then you have a verse that predominantly has that mood. So the both aren't a problem. Is that make sense? Yes.
Okay. Right. Like, here we find that, you know, the conversation that goes on between the gopis and Krishna is quite long. And we find that...
Quite long. You'd like to make it shorter.
In the sense that what I mean to say, the question is this, that amongst the different bhavas, you know, like, Vibhav is the most prominent because that's...
You can
major...
turn to page 41. That is a good page.
No.
because he's saying it's too long, then yeah, here. Now, this is a perfection, right? We haven't had one of these, right? It's only in 10th canto we get one of these. Or it actually has a heading and there's nothing on it, right? You know, it's like, you never had one that good.
So. So what I mean to say is, because you know, this is how the interaction goes on between Krishna and his devotees.
Right.
So out of like vibhav, anubhav, you know, sattvika centuries and all, vibhav is most prominent, you know, which gives.
Look, vibhav is the one that causes the other things to happen.
Yes.
But the point is the experience is what's all these other ones.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, so what are you trying to establish?
So it is only through vibhav that the experience of the rasa is being made possible through.
Yes, but without the rati, what's the point of the vibhav?
Yeah, rati is the first thing. Then
yes, so I'm saying the point is we study these aspects so that we see what's going on. But overemphasizing this one over that one or this or that, that's not so necessary because it's a taste. You know, it's just like, let us say, if you had a sabji, okay? You cooked half a kilo of sabji, okay? Now, by volume, the vegetables are going to be the main thing, okay? How much by volume in proportion is the salt? Yes, but without the salt? Yes, so then you don't worry about volumes and numbers and stuff like that. These are just all there and then they come together and they're a perfect blend. Does that make sense? Like that, so yeah. Okay, Srila Sanatana Goswami summarizes the gopis' arguments. After answering him with 10 verses and defeating him, in the 11th verse they make clear their desire with intense pain. They also reject his opposite meanings with their opposite meanings using puns. Those have been explained. Or with special skill they answer all 10 of his verses in each of their verses. But they have one extra verse, and their verse is in a strong, longer meter. This is for the purpose of producing their victory, or it indicates their deep sorrow covered by anger and love. So all these things are going on. So it's that they answer each one of his verses with a verse, but at the same time, each verse also deals with all 10 verses. But it's not that there's not a... There can also be a prominence of a particular presentation in one verse, though it covers all the verses. Does that make sense? So he's saying is that he says or like that, but that, you know, so there all these things can go on at once. So it's just the different angles of which one you want to bring out. Is that yeah. And then but the last one that they do, their 11th verse then is longer than the verses that he used. So then that establishes theirs as greater. You know, so just he made his presentation, they give their response, but in their response they have an extra verse, and the extra verse is a verse that has a longer meter than the other verses that he uses. So not only is one more, but it's bigger. Right? So these are just, yeah. Or their deep sorrow covered by anger and love. So they have great affection, so then they're feeling very bad, but then there's covered anger. That's why these things are happening. Taking their first verse as an example, addressing him with vibho to indicate prabho and bhavan, indicate their servant attitude. Therefore you should not speak indifferently to us, verse 18. In giving up everything, they state their intention at that moment. What is the use of your words? We have dedicated ourselves to your feet. Bhakta tava padma mulam, verse 31. This answers verse 19 and 20. Having taken shelter of you, we have no fear of wild animals or relatives. The word bhakta also replies to verse 21. We have come to worship you, not to see the flowers of the forest. This also applies to the second part of verse 18. Please tell me why you have come. We have come to worship you. It also replies to verse 22. Go and serve your husbands. Please respond to us, Bhajasva. This indicates their special bhava. This answers verse 23. Perhaps you came out of great love for me. Yes, for that reason we have come, and not out of affection of ordinary people. You are difficult to attain, Durvagraha. This answers verses 24 to 25, rejecting service to husband and others stated with logic. Do not reject us. This answers verses 27 and 28. Though stated with logic, the reasons are rejected because of the prayer and misery. Right? So it deals with all the things like that. So each group is dealing with all that, but they may have an underlying theme to which they're presenting it. Does that make sense? Because it can, you can do two things at once here. Does that make sense? You have a nice, pleasant conversation with somebody, but there's also a particular purpose you want to get done. They both can go on. Okay. They also show logic by citing the example of the Lord protecting the Devatas. The details can be understood according to what was previously written. Their answer in verse 32, with the mention of duties to husbands, replies to verse 20, 22, and 25. They reject service to relatives and husbands by saying that service should be dedicated to him. Right? So you see, all the things he does is to bring it down to religion. Right? He doesn't take it below that, to religion. And then, from that, then they keep bringing it back up to the supreme religion, the Sad-Dharma. So he presents, they've come there to interact with him, and so that, but he presents them the Dharma. Then they counter that with Sad-Dharma. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Or even if he does say the thing of Sad-Dharma, then he'll cover it again and bring it into something else. Is that... Do not cause worry to relatives, verse 20. This is answered with, let service be offered to you, the Lord, Toi Ishe. Right? Because the relatives are worried because the activities aren't done, but those activities that should be done, those are offered to Krishna. So then you've already taken care of that. It also answers his statement, is everything well in Braja? By his influence, everything there is auspicious. It answers his description of the wild animals in the forest. Near you, there is no fear. Please say why you have come, verse 18. We have come to serve you. Welcome to the forest, verse 18. This is an inappropriate address to persons who are controlled by you. The word avam suggests their special bhava, referring to verse 23. Perhaps you have come here out of your great love. So then they're mentioning that, yes, we've come here with this, so therefore these other things are incorrect. Upadeshapade answers verse 27. Everyone should worship you in all circumstances. By a reflection of your worship, all faults are destroyed and all good qualities are achieved. Right? So even just by a reflection of Krishna's worship, then all inauspicious things are destroyed. So even if we're performing our duties to the Lord, worshiping the deity, chanting, serving the Vaishnavas, even if it's not perfect, but we're trying to do things nicely, that itself destroys all imperfections. Right? So that's why we say you don't have to separately endeavor. You just have to endeavor to do things nicely in Krishna consciousness. It means if you're aware of it, you avoid what's improper. But the point is, if you're focusing on doing everything nicely, it already covers the other. But if you're remembering Krishna, you can't be forgetting him. Right? So only if there's a moment where there's forgetfulness, then you remember, I shouldn't forget, I should remember, and then you go back to the...
I can notice his Klesha Agni and Shubhada.
Klesha Agni and Shubhada, yes, they just come automatically when there's the devotional. Because yeah. I think those are the... Aren't those the underside of the leaves?
Yes.
Yeah, so they just, you don't have to worry about that.
Example is one, before sun is seen, the light comes.
Yes. Yes. Good here? Before the sun comes, you can see the light already. So it's already, so that's the point. Namabhat, all these things, they're already purifying. So that we don't have to worry. What we should be focusing on is how to increase our attraction to Krishna.
But even if we do have faith that this is going to happen sooner or later. still we don't really see that it's happening so much.
But what do you want to see?
The joy of performing devotional service.
So what's to say you're not joyful?
No, I'm not saying that I'm not joyful. I'm saying that all those things that we have to try and please Krishna, and everything else will, you know, whatever we don't need will go away, whatever we need will be revealed in due course of time.
Yes. But things are going away.
So,
but some of the things we're holding on to.
Maybe.
So therefore, you know, you want it to go away slower.
But some things we want to come.
Yes, but it's dependent upon the other things, the speed at which they go away. It's just like, how, when can you cook lunch? Right? It depends upon how quickly you clean the kitchen. Right? If the kitchen is a mess from the previous meal, can you cook the next? No. So it just depends upon that. So if, you know, you want to clean it at your leisure, then lunch will also come at the leisurely. So if we're focusing on Krishna, then it'll work. Because things take time. Remember, we've been here since time immemorial. So you're having unlimited lifetimes that you can counter by one lifetime. Now, is that a good deal or is that a good deal?
A good deal.
Okay, it's a good deal. Right? So therefore, be committed that it has to work within this lifetime. And so the lifetime is not over, so don't get in anxiety.
<It's getting old.
laughs> Yes, but we're getting closer.
That's for sure. But my main question was, we do sadhana. In the beginning, it's quite mechanistic.
Mm-hmm.
At least until we get it all together, and then it runs more or less on its own. And then we have to add into this the feelings. But this is something that cannot be added automatically or mechanistically. It should come from somewhere.
Well, it should come from the desire that's where you want the... Because otherwise, can you do activities and also think of other things? Or so then... Because we like to do that. So then with Krishna, that hasn't become a prominent thing because we're so busy thinking of other things. So just like activities that we can do, they become a habit so that we don't have to worry about it. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of when we have that desire to be absorbed in Krishna, see everything next to, you know, connected to Krishna. Then Krishna can do stuff. Because it's not a problem to get rid of all the stuff. It's a problem to get rid of the stuff at a pace that we're comfortable with. You know what I'm saying?
It's just the question of balancing that. You feel, on one side you feel comfortable, not uncomfortable.
Yes.
But on the other side, you want to increase and you become more focused than whatever.
Yes. So... But that you want to become, but that has to be. How consistent is that desire?
Quite consistent.
So then things will move quicker. So to that degree of consistency, to that degree it moves. Less consistent, less moving. Yeah. That's why you have so many fingers. Thumb holds one side, other fingers hold the other, and then one of the fingers holds the lid. Yes. If you need, use two hands, then one can hold the lid, the other one can hold the pot, and then you just have to synchronize your breathing and your drinking. So it gets quite complicated, actually. Yeah. We're not throwing in the jumping up and down, patting your stomach and rubbing your head, or either way you like to do it. So we're just going to stick with this much. You know? Okay, you are the best, Preshtaha. This indicates that he is not an illicit lover. This answer is 28, which forbids close association with him. Since you are the Supreme Soul, association with you is also supreme and spiritual. Otherwise, there would be no relationship between light and darkness. Also being seen with him, the forest also becomes the best, verse 21. It is not seen separately from him. So if they're asking, oh, so you've come to see the forest, but the forest is only attractive because Krishna's in that forest. That's the whole.
What? What's the connection, the relationship between light and darkness, whatever they say?
It means you have light and darkness. So light stands out, darkness doesn't. So he being the best, then that stands out. He's the light, and these other things are darkness. So they're you know, they're, what do you call it? You know, family, husbands, house, all that, that's the darkness side, and he's the light side. So like the Upanishad says, come from the darkness to the light. Right? So they have done that. So we see is that whatever he brings up when he's quoting from the scriptures, which he's saying properly, but he's presenting the Dharma, but he's presenting it by adjusting it over into a position that on one sense externally has validity for a conditioned living entity, but for someone on the platform of prema, it doesn't. And so for them, they are fully absorbed. That is the highest religion. So they're answering, they're connecting the religious aspects that he's saying and answers it not by countering with another secondary aspect, by bringing it to the primary. Does that make sense? You know, so that's then what we do. If we argue over the secondary things, then we'll always have a problem. But if you take it to the primary, then the problem is solved. Because at that point, people, how can they argue it? Like that. So they're using this. So this is standard. This, you can see, is the best way of dealing with things. Someone mentions something, then you just take it to the principle, you know, of what it's for, how it pleases Krishna, its actual connection with Krishna as a person. Because then what's to complain about? Because the complaint is generally its connection with them as an individual, and whether they like it or not, or how things are done externally or not. But the point is if it's about Krishna, then if it's something that should be done and it pleases Krishna, why wouldn't you do? And if it's something that wouldn't please Krishna, why would you want to do it? So, yeah. What is the use of just seeing the forest? Right? So it's, unless it's seen in connection with Krishna, what's the point? Absorbed in defeating him, with anger born of increasing prema, in denying his statements, there is no particular order of their answers. That applies to all verses. So it's not that they, as he gave the 10 verses, then they go through and answer each one just like that. They answer all the points, but they answer it in whatever order comes up by the mood that they're in. So he says, anger born of increasing prema. So the prema is increasing, and so that anger will come up. Right? Because that's, then you have prema, then you have sneha, then pranaya, then I think you have mon, right? You don't know beyond that one. Okay.
Till now we have this much.
Oh, then you only heard this much, okay. But you remember and I always forget. Sorry? I think the Anurag's above.
Anurag is before the last.
The mon is then means after pranaya, then what's there?
Mon.
Okay, and then it goes up from there. So that means that this is starting to show. You know, so that's the point, is the
one
key.
Only one
key. Yeah, one's enough, right? He is happy. He made it. He's flying. Right? You have to remember, he's an ant. This is technically, it's a termite. and then they get wings, and then they fly. And in the morning, they'll be dead. Okay, so that means it's not any particular order. It's more of the mood, which one catches with them. So the different groups, then different things are resonating with them. So then, because he's speaking for all the groups, so he in his 10 verses is addressing them all. So one, he's addressing them all in each verse, but at the same time, there may be a flavor that's more specific for a different group. And then they'll answer according to that. They may have a specific flavor in the verses they say, but it will address all the 10 points. So... yeah, so there's no specific order. Like you see, 27, 28, then 21, 20, 18, 18, you know, like that. See, it moves around depending upon how they're putting it together. Verse 33 begins by rejecting verse 28. Cruel words are not suitable to the skillful or wise who have made you the object of rati. Right, so someone who has made him the object of affection and the focus of everything, then it's improper to use cruel speech towards them. Or for persons who are most skillful, for those who have approached you, your welcoming words should be taken as they are. Right, so you could take it as what he said there in the welcoming words, and they just take it just for that much. They're just welcoming words, that's all. Husbands give pain. This answers this question, how is everything in Braja? So you want to know how it is? Husbands give pain. Okay. Like that. You really want to know? Okay. This answers verses 20 to 24. Mothers, fathers, sons, and brothers search for you. They have rati for you, their atma. This answers verse 19 about the wild animals. How can we have fear when you are the Lord of our lives? Because fear means then you don't see the relationship. You don't see what's going to happen at the time. So then, because of their attachment to Krishna, then it doesn't matter. There's no fear because the relationship is strong. Right? Fear comes when you think that there's going to be a separation between what position you're in now and what position is going to happen because of the situation. Does that make sense? So they don't see that anything will change. Their affection for Krishna will remain as it is. Therefore, whether there's wild animals or not, then it doesn't create any fear in them. Right? Because their relationship with Krishna will be the same. How can we have fear when you are the Lord of our lives? One should stay at the side of one's own greatest friend, Varadeshvara, instead of Parameshvara. Answers verse 23, right? So means that if there is any fear, you're at the side of whoever's your best friend, then there's no fear. So then Krishna being the best friend, they being next to him, why there should be any fear? Okay, then Varadeshvara instead of Parameshvara answers verse 23. Perhaps you have come here out of your great love for me. Since you give benedictions, we have come for special prema. This answers verse 21, coming to see the flowers. Right? So did you come to see the flowers? No, they came to see him. Please be merciful, Prasida. This answers verse 26. For a woman from a respectable family, petty adulterous affairs are always condemned. But, no, by your mercy all good qualities manifest and all faults disappear. Do not break our hopes. Right? So then that answers all those things. Right, they say that all these things are considered proper auspicious situations, and by not following it creates inauspiciousness. But if you're connected to Krishna, then by his grace all good qualities are there. Bhakti is all good qualities. He has all good qualities, so therefore the devotee has all good qualities. So where would be the inauspiciousness? Do not break our hopes. This answers verse 28. The same result is not achieved by mere physical proximity. So please go back to your homes. They had longed for his direct association for a long time. Right, so it's that he's saying that you develop this attraction to me not by proximity. but by always remembering me and this and that. And their point is we've always been remembering you. That's why we have this desire to be. Right? So he's just saying, oh, you've come here, but now you should go and develop that attraction. But their point is, no, what you've said, we've already been doing. That's why we have this attraction. Yeah? With happiness, you stole our mind. Verse 34. This answers verse 18. You should not say cruel words since you are a form of full of happiness. You stole our hearts. This answers verse 18. How is Vraja? And verse 19. The forest is dark and has frightening animals.
Frightening.
I say frightening flying termites. Better than flying monkeys. Definitely.
The cows would be the worst.
Usually so. Oh, yeah. Well, that's fair. Since he stole their hearts, they are not concerned with these things. They don't care about the forest, they don't care about the animals, they don't care about any of that. What can I do to please you? Please tell me. Verse 18. Since our hearts are stolen, do what is necessary to please us. That is our reason for coming. What can I do to please you? So since he's stolen their hearts, then whatever he likes, then that's what he does. That's why they've come. Right? He's stolen their hearts, so they've come to interact with him with whatever way pleases him. That will, and he says, how can I please you? That's how they'll please him. Does that make sense? Yeah. What should we do? This answers verse 22. Go back to the village. And verse 24. Duty is to serve the husband, or is service to the husband. We cannot move from here. Okay, we cannot move from here. So the point is he says, go back to the village, serve your husband. They says, we can't move from here. Our hearts are stolen. Right? So how can we go? Our hearts are stolen, so we can't move. Because he's saying, no, go back, take care of the family. These are all the things that are dear to the ladies. And that. They say, no, but our heart's been stolen by you. How can we go back? This confirms his statement in verse 23. We have, so 23 is the one where he says, you have come here out of your affection. No? Oh, yeah, referring to verse 23. Perhaps you have come here out of your special love. So that confirms that one. We have come here because our hearts have been stolen by you. This is unlike other persons who have affection alone. So others may have affection, but they have affection and their heart has been stolen. So they're in their own position. This also answers verse 26 and 27. We have no fault in losing our discrimination, since you are most attractive. What should we do? Other actions are detestable. Being close to you is excellent. So what else could be done? Then that's already, you know, how you say. Yeah, so then this is answered here. That what should be done? But they haven't lost their discrimination because being with Krishna, that's the perfection of everything. Verse 35, sprinkle us with the nectar of your lips. Answers verse 28. You should do what is most beneficial for us. Tell me what is pleasing to you. This also answers verse 23. Did you come here out of great love? For this reason alone we came. If you do not, we will consign our bodies to the fire of separation from you. Since everyone will die, there will be no need to worry about a dharma. Because right, if everyone's dead, who cares about dharma? Right? You know, so even the guy's not necessarily a nice guy, then after he's dead, everybody just says all the nice stuff. You know? You know, so that's their point, is that, you know, don't worry about it, because then we'll be dead, so it doesn't matter. Right? Verse 36 also answers verse 18 and 21. Harsh words are unsuitable for you who take away all pain by your lotus eyes. Or if you glance with your sweet eyes, then we would have been welcomed and become fortunate. Verse 18. Or by seeing you, who are most attractive, lotus-eyed, we are welcomed and made most fortunate. Since you are affectionate to the forest people, we will have no fear of forest animals who are dear to you. Since we are by your side, we should stay there. We did not come to see the flowers. How is Vraja? We have touched your feet and are fully satisfied. Now we have no taste for relatives. So how is Vraja? But because they've taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, they don't actually care. You know, it doesn't matter, because taking shelter of his feet gives the highest satisfaction, so why would they be worried about it? So that's verses 20, 22, 23, and 24. We are satisfied with you. We have come here because of special bhava to enjoy with you. This answers verse 23. This is what will please us. Verse 18, how can I please you? We have touched your feet. Verses 26 and 27. Express sin from illicit affairs. We should worship you as our illicit lover, since we cannot be your wife like Lakshmi. But how can there be any infamy from attaining the person attained by Lakshmi? Right? Because he's the topmost person. So attaining him, how can there be anything wrong? So you can say, but it's sinful, but he's the topmost person. So then there is no sin. Right? Because Lakshmi means if he's sinful, why would Lakshmi be hanging out with him? Right? So that means it's all perfect, right? Because wherever there's sin, then there won't be Lakshmi. Right? Wherever there's piety, then there's Lakshmi. So here, then the piety means it's connected to Krishna. That's where Lakshmi will be. If it's just piety, then she's Chanchala. But if it's about Krishna, then she's always there. So since she's always there, then if we've attained the same person that Lakshmi has attained, how can there be any sin? So, yeah. Verse 36 also answers. Verse 18 and 21. Harsh words are unsuitable for you who take away all pain by your lotus eyes. Didn't we just, where were we? Okay.
Just as you associate with her.
Oh, that down there. Okay. Just as you associate with her, you should associate with us. This will produce bhava continuously. Otherwise, you could not have association with Lakshmi, who is worshipped by all devotees and possesses the highest prema. Right, so if by Lakshmi associating with Narayan, then it didn't produce bhava, then why would she be around him? Right, because she's not interested in anything except him. Right, so by being around him, it doesn't produce anything mundane. That's why she's there, because if it's mundane, she doesn't stick around. Right, so in the same way as then by associating with them continuously, then Krishna does that. That will please them. That will create the constant bhava of that expression of love for Krishna. Verse 37 responds to verse 18, 19, 20, 22, and 24. Lakshmi is desired by Brahma and others, but ignores them. She desires your feet. Similarly, we can ignore all others and surrender to you. What is the use of other actions? We have come with this great prema. This responds to verse 23. So everybody wants Lakshmi, but Lakshmi is not interested in them. So in the same way as they're only she's only interested in Narayan. So the same way they're only interested in Narayan, then automatically that means they have no interest in anything else. Is that? Yeah. Just as Lakshmi resides with you on the milk ocean as your beloved, we can reside with you in Vrindavan. Thus we do not have to see the forest, verse 21, right? Because we can see you, why do we need to see the forest? How can we be defamed? Vesser. Is that like German? Vesser 26, 27? Okay. Lakshmi is never defamed. The guy who worked on this is German, right? Okay. Thus, it is proper to desire to be your servant. That pleases. What pleases us is this. Thus, we become most fortunate. Yeah, Lakshmi is never defamed, so therefore, she's always with him, and she's ignoring everybody else. So therefore, if we are always with Krishna and ignore everybody else, then why would we be defamed? Okay. What pleases us is this. Thus we become most fortunate. Verse 18. This is a suitable welcome. So the welcoming to, you know, that you come here and this and that. So in that way, then that's good. But it's what he says after that that creates the problem. So if you just say that he's happy that they've come, then it goes okay. But if it's an opening for something else, then that's where the problem starts. Be merciful and make us your servants, verse 38. This is what pleases us, verse 18. What pleases us is to obtain your mercy. This is what pleases us, verse 18. What pleases us is to obtain your mercy. We have come for this. O deliverer of the suffering. This answers verse 18. How is Braja? Right? So if they refer to him as deliverer of the suffering and they've come to him, that means then being in Braja without him is suffering. So that's how Braja is. And verse 19. You destroy all fear and suffering. Right? We want to approach your lotus feet. You say, go home, verse 28. But having attained those feet, we cannot go. We must stay. We have given up our homes. This answers verses 18, 19, 20, 22, and 24. We desire to worship you. We have come to serve you. Do not look at the forest. No, to serve you, not to look at the forest. We desire to see that face. This answers verse 23. We have come with hearts pained by desire. You are the ornament among men. This answers verse 26 and 27. Since you are supreme, there is no fault in a relationship with you, since you are actually our husband and the supreme goal. Love will increase by our direct association with you. Statements like Sani Karsho Hi Martyanam are for materialists. Seeing your face, we should become your servants. Verse 39. This answers verse 18, 19 through 22, 24 and 25. If we are your servants, we have no other interest. We have come with the bhava of servants. Verse 23. Your chest is the playground of Lakshmi. This answers verse 26 and 27. Service to you is what we want. This answers verse 18. Say what will please you. We have come for that purpose. If that is accomplished, the welcome is proper. So by welcoming them, if then he actually pleases their desire to serve him and interact with him and please him, then the welcoming that he gave in the beginning is actually proper. Right? But if that's not, then it is part of the cruel words that he's speaking. Right? Or if your arms give fearlessness. This answers verse 18. Is Vraja well? Verses 19 to 20 and verses 24 to 26. He can destroy all fear of animals, relatives, and rules. So then, in that way, then Vraja becomes perfect. He's just by surrendering to Krishna, taking shelter of him, then everything becomes nice. Since relatives are all useless, there is no fault in giving them all up. We have come to see your face, not to see the forest. By seeing your face, we have no desire to see anything else. Your chest is the playground of beauty. This answers verse 28.
Whatever question, you know, Krishna is asking, like, for example, how is Vraja, you know? So multiple answers have been given by the gopis.
Yes. It's just like, let us say, someone makes many statements. And then it's, you can go through and one by one deal with the statements, or you can put all that together because there's a theme going on in these statements, and you address the theme, and so then at various points you may bring out various aspects that address, but it's not that you're just going through point by point like that. Does that make sense? So you may start somewhere else, bring up all that, but that's answering this point. You know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let us say the child says, you know, I don't want to do homework. This is useless. And then you might start from, you know, but you know, you're comfortable living, you know, but you don't want to do the homework, but you're comfortable living in the house. right? You know, you're comfortable, you have a place, everything's there, there's prasad, there's people you know, you're safe and all. Yes. And so all that there then is, you know, what we're, you know, is the whole purpose of the whole house, right? Yes. But then, but how is that taken care of? So that means there must be endeavor, right? And in that endeavor, that needs facility. And that facility comes from the money. The money comes from the job. The job comes from the degree that comes from doing their homework. So if you like your, if you like living here comfortably in the house, do your homework. You understand? So it's not that you just take point by point. Exactly. You can do that, or you just take the whole thing. Because if you just argue the point, you know, no, if you do that, you'll get good grades. Why do I need good grades? You just start at the other end. And then work back, because by the time you get back, there is nothing left for them to argue.
Well, but in Vedanta Sutras, you know, we find how, you know, we have the Purupaksha, then the Uttara. It just goes on back and forth. So it's point-to-point argument that goes on. But here it is not so. And all the
and that's a fault.
That's a fault.
I'm saying, is that a fault?
It's not a fault.
Then what's the point? Mm. They are doing, they're answering everything. It goes through here. Right? Because all his 10 verses, then they're answering that, them. Now each one is dealing with so many. Yeah, because they make a point here. You know, for those, okay, now verse 40. Then expresses 18 through 25, then 16, 26 through 27. Then in the next one, then 18, then 19, 20, 22, 24, 25, right? Then 26, 27 again. So they're dealing with it from many different angles. Not only are they answering, but from so many different angles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just the way a conversation works. Vedanta Sutra isn't, it means it's put together so it's a logical thing, but the point is it's not a conversation as such. It's a logical presentation of all the points that could be made in philosophical discussions and putting everything in its right place, in its right perspective. Therefore, then they're just building on those points. Like that. But a conversation will flow, you have the moods, you have this, you have that. Yeah? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.